International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Herbert Marshall in Heaven Is Like That, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you this week by International Sterling, world-famous solid silver. And here is our director, Conrad Nagel.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to the 20th program in the current Silver Theater series. Today, we're glad to present once again Herbert Marshall, who, supported by Francis Robinson, stars in True Boardman's original drama, Heaven Is Like That. Many other brilliant stars will also appear on our stage soon. To mention a few, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Paulette Goddard, Cary Grant, Humphrey Bogart, Edna Best, and Thomas Mitchell. At the end of our program today, I'll tell you which of them is to be our next guest. Now, there's just a moment before Silver Curtain goes up. A moment we'd like to devote to success. Your success. If you will, Dick.
Nearly all of you, ladies and gentlemen, have your own measure of success. Some one thing that in your eyes means you're a person. You've arrived. For a man, that goal is often the purchase of a particularly distinctive-looking car. For a woman, it's more apt to be the pride of a beautiful home, surroundings and possessions that give her background and personality. And there are few things that contribute so richly to that feeling as sterling silver. Because sterling is solid silver. Silver to be enjoyed not just a month or a year, but a lifetime. International Sterling is a particularly superb example of solid silver craftsmanship. Created by the foremost silver house in the world, International Sterling has such brilliant design, such rich elegance, that to many people, it is the sterling of all sterlings. But words alone do little justice to its really glorious beauty. The thing to do is visit your silverware dealer. See it yourself and learn how easy it is to own silver you can be proud of all the days of your life. International Sterling Silver.
And now the house lights dim and the silver curtain rises on the first act of Heaven Is Like That, starring Herbert Marshall as Christopher Lane, with Francis Robinson as Eileen. The scene is London, 5 years ago. At his flat in the smart West End district, Christopher Lane is giving a party. As they always do, Christopher's guests are enjoying themselves immensely. And as for Christopher himself...
Mr. Lane, sir.
Yes, listen.
I beg your pardon, sir, but Dr. Rogers is in the library. He says he must speak to you privately.
Well, I can't. I have guests.
He said it was most important, sir.
Oh, well. Excuse me, all of you. Rogers, old man.
Hello, Chris. I thought you were going to ring me up the morning after I examined you.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but there was no rush about it. I only bought the insurance in the first place because Freddie Tillman needs the business. You know...
I'm serious. I've got to talk to you.
All right, let's have it.
In many ways, the medical profession has made great strides. You might even say we've accomplished miracles. In others...
Yes?
Well, we've failed. Thus far, that is. There are certain diseases that we've been unable to conquer. One of them is a very rare blood condition called leukemia.
I've heard of it.
Yes, then you've undoubtedly heard also that at least certain cases are incurable.
Yes, I think I knew that. Yes, I read about... Wait a moment. You're not trying to say that I...
That's just what I am trying to say, my boy.
I don't believe it. As well as you are.
Oh, well, I would have said so, too. But it so happens the blood tests don't lie. I'm terribly sorry, Chris. Believe me.
There's... What do you mean, there's nothing to be done?
Oh, naturally, we'll try treatments, but...
Hold on, I want the truth.
1 year at most. More probably 10 months.
10 months. Yeah. Drink, Rogers?
No, Chris. And you shouldn't either. In your condition, it's most dangerous.
I give you a toast.
Chris.
A little out of season, but still fitting. Very fitting. Dr. Rogers, I give you a happy new year.
Darling, where have you been? What's wrong?
Wrong? Why should anything be wrong? I'm going out, that's all.
But your party...
Hang the party, I'm going out. I happen to feel like walking. Alone. Any objections?
But Chris...
I said another brandy. Double.
I heard you, sir. Begging your pardon, sir. Oh, shouldn't you call it quits? After all, you had a good many before you came here.
Give over, Amy. Let the gentleman have his drink if he wants it.
Oh, all right. Here you are, sir.
Thank you.
Good blimey. He just downs my bail, he does.
Yeah, here's the money.
Oh, but wait, sir, you changed. And now I've got a cab, sir. This ain't no part of London for a gentleman, sir. Especially a night like this and you unsteady like. Well, how do you like that?
I likes it, Amy. I likes it.
What are you up to, Davy?
Nothing at all, Amy. Nothing at all. But did you see that wallet on him? Jerry. Jerry there. Here, wake up. There's work for us this night.
It's still not clear. You say you found me in the street?
Nearly 2 hours ago. You must have fallen. And there was no one else to help you. I couldn't just leave you lying there, so I brought you to my room. Drink more of that tea.
But, how did you get me up here?
You came too enough to walk, with me helping you. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get on with my packing.
Who are you?
My name's Eileen.
Packing? What for?
Oh, I have to leave here in the morning. Unless I get a job, that is.
I see. What kind of a job have you been looking for?
I'm in service. I was downstairs maid to Mrs. Gammer for 2 years, until she died last autumn. That's where I got this.
A silver teapot. Mrs. Gammer gave it to you?
Lord, no. I left it on fire one day and burnt a hole in the bottom. She was frightfully angry and took full payment for it from my wages. So now it's my personal private treasure in a way. All I've got, that is.
Well, I should say it was a treasure. Lovely one.
Of course, I'll have to have it mended for him. To make it tea, I mean.
Him? Don't tell me you have a husband.
Oh, not yet. But when I get one. I will, of course, someday. Do I look like a girl who wouldn't get a husband?
Not at all, no. I'm sure you'll get the very best of husbands. And now...
Oh, are you going?
Yes, thanks to you, I believe I can manage now. And you've been more than kind. I'd like to show you my appreciation by leaving...
What is it?
A minor matter, young lady. But I'll trouble you for my money.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I had more than £50 with it when I left your home tonight. Now it's gone.
£50? But you... Oh. So that's what they were about.
Who?
When I came up to you, I saw some men beside you. But when I called, they disappeared into the fog.
And my money with them.
What's funny?
It's absurd. There's every reason in the world for me to think you're lying. But I know somehow that you're not.
Then you know what's true. I'll never lie.
Eileen, how old are you?
18, sir.
What would you do if you had only 1 year to live?
I'd pray.
And after that?
I don't know. I never thought. But I guess I'd try to decide just who to give the teapot to.
That's really all you think of. But what about yourself? What about filling those last months with all the pleasure you could find?
Oh, good heavens. You don't know much, do you?
Don't I?
Who ever heard of finding any happiness by going out and looking for it?
But one would find it in giving things away, huh?
Of course. It's taking things from others that's hard. But giving things, that's easy.
Is it? I mean, suppose you had, instead of just a silver teapot, let's say £1,000 to give away.
You might as well say 20,000.
All right, I will say 20,000. You see, I do have just 1 year to live.
Oh, it's not true.
I found out myself tonight.
But are you sure? It may be a mistake.
No, it's true enough. And because it's true, I'm interested in what you say. Suppose I were to spend my year the way you'd spend it in my place. Do you think you could help me?
You mean help you to give money away?
Just that.
But why do you need help? Just do it.
But you know where there's real need. I don't. I'll wager you could think right now of a dozen people who need money. And badly.
Well, there's always Mrs. Davis. She's been sick ever so long. And then there's Melio.
Melio?
The bootmaker's oldest boy. He could be a wonderful violinist someday, but he needs lessons with a real master. And there's... Oh, you're right. There are so many to be helped.
Then you'll do it, Eileen?
Are you sure you're sober now?
Oh, yes, I'm quite sober.
And you're not crazy? It's hard to tell these days.
And I'm not crazy.
All right, then. I will help you. But why are you doing it?
Why? I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's because my year is suddenly very precious to me. I've always tried the other recipes for happiness. They never worked. Perhaps yours will.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take advantage of this brief intermission to clear up a mistaken idea which so many people have. If you will, Dick.
Many women in modern circumstances feel that owning solid silver is just out of the question. That really is a mistaken idea, and I wish every woman who has a home of her own now, or who expects to have one, would realize how very true indeed that is. For you can now buy one of the finest and handsomest sterlings, international sterling, right out of income. Take International's newly created romance chest, for example. As already planned, it takes care of all the entertaining the average woman does. For there are 36 sterling pieces in the stunning walnut chest, solid sterling pieces, exquisitely wrought in your choice of those three most popular patterns, minuet, prelude, or enchantress. The chest and silver together cost $100, but under your silverware dealer's easy budget plan, only a few dollars down will bring this impressive silver to your dinner table. There's another easy way to own sterling silver, too. For as little as $16.75, you can get one complete place setting in beautiful international sterling. And once you have your start, it's a simple matter on birthdays, anniversaries, or other special occasions to add matching place settings until you have a proud sterling service, complete in every last detail. So, stop wishing and start planning. Visit your silverware dealer tomorrow, Monday, and feast your eyes on the richness and beauty that is solid silver. Then, plan to set your own table now with solid silver created by silversmiths who have been master craftsmen for five generations. International Sterling Silver.
Again, the house lights dim and the silver curtain rises on the final act of Heaven Is Like That, starring Herbert Marshall as Christopher Lane, with Frances Robinson as Eileen. It's the following day, and just outside Christopher's bank in St. Martin's Place at the appointed hour...
Well, here's the first installment. Take it, Eileen.
£1,000. Actually, £1,000. And in my own hands.
I suppose you already planned how to dispose of it?
Oh, yes, I have. With $400 to Mr. Davis, $300 for Emilio.
Never mind the details. I'm leaving that to you.
Well, I'll bring the receipt. It should be done by 4:00.
Good. Then I'll meet you at my flat.
Oh, but I couldn't do that.
No?
It would hardly be proper, sir.
At your room, then?
That's not much better.
I see. Well, where can you suggest, considering all the proprietors, I mean?
There's always a public park. Hyde Park, for instance, near Marble Arch.
Hyde Park near Marble Arch it is. 4:00.
Very good, sir.
And look, my name's Christopher Lane.
Yes, Mr. Lane.
Christopher?
Yes, Mr. Christopher.
All right, you win. Goodbye, Eileen. Till 4:00.
Hey, mister.
Yeah?
Would you be Mr. Christopher Lane, sir?
Yes, I'm Christopher Lane.
Well, a girl told me to give you this.
Thank you. Oh.
Oh, say, have I been fetching all that money and without even knowing it?
Yes, £1,000. Listen, where was the girl when she gave you this?
At Mrs. Park's rooming house on Burberry Street. She was near crying.
Here, take this for your trouble.
Oh, I say, a pound, though. Thank you, sir.
Taxi. Here, taxi.
There was no need for you to come. What set you back the money?
Why, that's what I want to know. Eileen, you're crying.
I suppose I am. A girl has a right to cry if she wants to.
Yes, certainly, but she usually has a reason as well. Do you want to tell me?
No.
Then perhaps I can tell you. Your friend wouldn't take the money you were so anxious to give them.
How did you know? Oh, Mr. Christopher, I don't understand it. Mrs. Davis was all of a sudden angry when I offered her share. She said, whatever gave me the idea that she would take charity.
But surely you didn't stop Mrs. Davis.
Emilio's father said I must have stolen the money. How can you laugh? I've ruined everything.
Well, I wouldn't say it was quite as bad as that. You've just overlooked one thing. The snobbery of the very poor. Its influence is stronger than the snobbery of the very rich.
But what can we do if people won't take help when it's offered to them?
We can masquerade it, Irene. We can make it look like Providence. And there's no one so poor she doesn't still believe in Providence.
How do you mean?
I suppose you leave that part of it to me.
Oh, very well, Mr. Christopher.
Look, you couldn't call me just plain Christopher.
Oh, no, sir. It would hardly be proper with my being in service and you a gentleman.
All right. But you will go through with our bargain now?
I don't know.
Or something else?
Yes.
What is it?
I don't think I could stand it.
Stand what?
Well, you know how it is when you're around someone a good deal. Even just working with them. You get attached to them. In a respectful sort of way, I mean.
And you're afraid you'd get attached to me?
I couldn't help it. And then to see you day after day, always knowing in my heart you were only waiting for... I couldn't.
You mean it's my dying that you're afraid of?
Not just the dying, but after. If we just knew what was beyond, it might be different.
But I do know. And because I know, I'm not afraid.
You really know? Tell me, what's it like?
Like... I mean, when in all your life were you the happiest?
In all my life? Well, I suppose it was the summer Mrs. Gammer took a country house. In Devonshire it was.
I know Devonshire.
Then you must know what I mean. The soft green rolling hills and the valleys in between with primroses and daffodils in bloom. And the houses, almost like they were painted against the sky.
Well, Eileen, it's very much like that.
You mean after?
Yes. You see, most people never realize that what we call heaven is really our fondest memories recaptured and our secret hopes all realized. And so I'm sure that in your heaven, there are the rolling hills, the valleys filled with flowers, even the painted houses against the sky, and in every house, a whole row of shining silver teapots.
But you say that's heaven for me. What about yours?
Mine? Very much the same. So surely that's no place for either of us to be afraid of, is it?
Oh, it would seem foolish to be afraid of that.
Of course it would. Now let's get to work. First, there's Mrs. Davis. What would be the best antidote for her overdose of pride? Mrs. Davis, you had, I believe, a cousin, Melissa, who went to Australia some 30 years ago.
Melissa? Oh, well, I'm not sure now. I've had a good mess of cousins in my time. My father was one of 11 children.
Yes,
you know,
yes, very interesting. The point is, Mrs. Davis, it is my duty as a member of the firm of Moore, Scantlebury and Coote to inform you that your cousin died in Australia and left you the sum of, £397.09 and sixpence.
Oh, merciful heavens. You don't mean it.
I do mean it.
Oh, poor dear Melinda.
Melissa.
Oh.
And here is the bequest in cash.
Scholarship for Emilio Carlotti, £400. Four-piece set prize for Jerry Marley, £500. Purchase of worth of furniture as antiques from Mrs. Higgins.
What's our total now? Do you have the figures?
I was just checking them. We've given out a total of £15,400.
That's nearly £2,000 a month, just as we planned it.
I know.
Yeah, why are you so depressed today? And how many times have I told you to buy a new dress?
But I have, sir, each time you've told me.
Well, then each new one looks just like the old one.
Each new one is just like the old one.
Well, that's absurd. And what about your hair? I told you to have it fixed, made softer.
Oh, I couldn't fluff it more than this.
Oh, couldn't you? Come here, Irene.
Yes, Mr. Christopher?
Do you realize that the Lord made you beautiful because he wanted you that way?
Did he, sir?
Now, tomorrow I want your hair done properly. Do you understand? That's an order.
I'll try.
And you'll also try to walk more gracefully. Yeah, I know. Hand me that book.
This one?
Mm-hmm. Now, hold it there, on top of your head.
Like this? Must I?
Yes. Now, walk across the room. Keep your back straight. Go on.
No.
No?
It just happened, Mr. Christopher, that I saw that movie, too.
Movie?
Yes, Pygmalion.
Oh.
And if you have the idea of making a lady out of me, you're wasting your time.
But you are a lady in everything that matters.
I'm not. I'm a servant girl, and I know my place. What's England coming to if people keep trying to push out of their own class?
Maybe class distinctions aren't as important now as they used to be.
They are to me.
Irene, listen to me. for months now I've wanted to tell you.
Mr. Christopher, we have work to do. Hadn't we better get back to it? Dr. Rogers will see you now, Mr. Lane.
Thank you.
Hello, Chris.
Rogers, what do you know of Dr. Anton Marx?
Marx? I've met him. He's just come here from Budapest.
Yes, and there was a report in the paper this morning that he has a cure for leukemia. An operation.
I knew about that, Chris.
You knew?
Yes, and I decided not to tell you. Marx has a theory and nothing more. The operation he proposes has never been performed. Of course, any patient submitting to it would be serving science, I suppose. Even if only by proving the theory false. But actually surviving the operation...
Yes. What chance would he have?
Not more than 1 in 500.
And in my case, without the operation, how long have I?
Well, I can't be positive. You've altered things considerably by the life you're living now. If you'd gone on as you were, you wouldn't be on your feet today. You may have another 6 months, Chris.
I see. Well, I'll take my 6 months and forget Dr. Marx.
Good evening.
Well, you did wear the vest.
You said I had to. What's happening?
You'll see.
I've finished the account. It's all stones.
Good. That means our job is done.
I know.
I mean... Come here.
Well?
Look.
A dinner party? But there are only two places.
Have you forgotten what night this is?
What night?
Our anniversary, Irene. It was a year ago tonight that you discovered me in Burberry Street. And there's another reason. I wanted to give you this.
What is it?
A deed. A deed to a farm in Devonshire. Green rolling hills with flowers in the valleys. And just one house that looks painted against the sky.
But you shouldn't have done it.
Why should I give to everyone else, and not to the one person who taught me the real joy of giving?
Oh, Mr. Christopher.
Irene, will you go there with me, for whatever time is left? I know it's selfish of me, but...
I can't. You mustn't ask me.
I want you to marry me.
And who am I to marry you?
Well, the girl I love, the girl who loves me.
And if I do love you, what does it matter? Does that make us any less far apart?
That makes no difference.
But it does. It must.
You're going to marry me.
No, I'm not. I'm going away. Our work is done. Our agreement's ended. So I'll just say goodbye, Mr. Christopher.
I mean, you can't have understood.
Please,
I love you.
Please let me go. And forgive me if I can't stay for the party. But I couldn't. Why would you have to put it into words?
Wait. At least let me... Send your woman a taxi.
No. If I'm going back to my own life, I'd as well start right now. I'll take the underground. Goodbye.
Eileen.
Pardon me, sir, but wouldn't you like more light in here?
No, and turn off that radio, will you?
You still wouldn't care for a little supper, sir?
No, just leave me alone.
This program could bring a special news announcement. A serious accident occurred in the London Underground less than an hour ago.
Wait, don't turn it off.
An unknown number of persons are dead and scores injured in the crash near Burberry Street Station.
Burberry Street?
So the details
will
be broadcast as soon as...
What's wrong?
Of course I've called the other hospitals. Are you sure she's not there?
Yes, the name is Irene Walsh.
She's 19, about 5'2" and... What? Oh, my God.
And we've done everything possible, Mr. Lane, but with a spinal fracture, well...
There's no hope at all.
I'm sorry.
I may go in now?
Certainly.
Eileen.
Oh, Mr. Christopher. Now I really have spoiled the anniversary, haven't I? Funny, too. I ran to catch that train.
Eileen.
Yes?
Surely it doesn't matter now.
Matter?
the gentleman and the servant girl. That couldn't make a difference at a time like this.
I don't suppose it could.
I do love you, Irene. So much.
And I love you, Miss... I mean, Christopher.
As surely as a clergyman in the hospital.
All right. I'd be happy to marry you.
God has joined together. Let no man put asunder.
Thank you, Father. I leave.
About the teapot. You'd better give it to some girl who's not married.
I will.
And have it mended so she can make tea for her man when she finds it.
I'll have it mended.
Christopher.
Yes.
Would you tell me once again?
Tell you?
What it's like. After. The green hills and the meadows and the houses like they were painted against the sky. Because what we call heaven is really
our fondest memories recaptured, our secret hopes all realized. And that's nothing to be afraid of because... Eileen. Goodbye, my darling.
Chris, it's still not too late for you to change your mind.
I'm not going to Rogers.
Oh, don't go through with it. I beg you. Forget that you ever heard of this operation.
Well, I did hear of it. And I'm glad. Now. All right, I'm ready.
Very well. We're taking him to surgery, nurse.
Rogers, there's just one thing.
Well?
The chances of my coming through this little session. What did you say they were?
1 in 500.
Can't you make it 1 in 1,000?
Oh, thank you, Barr. Beautiful performance. We'll have a word from our star, ladies and gentlemen, Herbert Marshall, in just a moment. Right now, though, I'd like to tell you about next Sunday's Silver Theater performance. Our star is a great favorite of yours, Cary Grant, who will appear in a story written especially for him. We're sure you'll want to hear Cary in his newest radio hit. And now today's star, Herbert Marshall.
Thank you, Conrad. It's been fun treading the boards of your Silver Theater. And I'd like to bow in the direction of Miss Frances Robinson, who's really a grand little trooper. We ought to award her a medal or something.
Well, medals are kind of useless, Bart. How about something that every woman should be proud to own, proud to show her friends, too, huh?
You couldn't be an international sterling silver, could you, Conrad?
Well, Bart, every real lady deserves solid silver, doesn't she?
Well, then our heroine deserves a whole service of international sterling. Wrap it up, Conrad. And now I've got to be off. Thanks for everything, and I hope we get together again real soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Bart. Love to have you back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Conrad Nagel bidding you all good evening, and thank you. See you next Sunday with Cary Grant.
In the meantime, remember, when you buy solid silver, be sure to look for the name of the world's foremost silver house, International. International Sterling Silver. Original music on today's program was composed and conducted by Felix Mills. This is Dick Joy speaking for International Sterling.
Herbert Marshall will be seen in the forthcoming RKO production, Bill of Divorcement. Frances Robinson is appearing currently in the Universal picture, The Invisible Man Returns. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.